Hey guys, this is Cole Liker.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
This is Jochen Graf.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I got a problem, it's complicated. Going through change that I just can't ignore the signs. There and now it's so loud it hurts. Hear me growl, hear me howl.
There's no one final touch to be had.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us again tonight. You are listening to the Unused Substitutes Show. We are your green and gold gospel, your best source for year-round Rowdies coverage. We are live on Radio St. Pete Online and part of the Beautiful Game Network. We are presented in part by Roughneck Scarves and Taco Bus. My name is Stephen Cundiff. Joining me tonight is only one co-host. I've got Matthew Cox here with me tonight. Little bit of a later start. No, we were not sabotaged by smoke, darkness, or smell.
The three horsemen of the U.S. apocalypse.
Yes. Yes. So we
look,
had a...
I'm going to jump in real quick. I don't want to... Let's just get straight to the big news. The reason why it's just the two of us is because we fired Dan, and this is now officially a Open Cup only podcast. So for the next hour or however long we're going to go, we're just going to talk about Open Cup games, and that's it. That's all we do now.
I mean, let's put it this way. The alternative is to talk about that 0-0 draw in Oakland. And I'm pretty sure that even Dan would agree that anything would be better than talking about that 0-0 draw in Oakland.
Would Dan rather?
Here we go. Okay, I like this.
Would Dan, in fact, I'm going to have to get the phone out and put this up as a poll on the pod. Would Dan rather eat a bowl of poutine or talk about the 0-0 draw versus Oakland? I'm going to go ahead and put that on the poll. It'll be going up there in a second on Unused Subs Pod. So let's, Steven, you talk for a while I do this because I can't multitask
this
anymore.
This is going to be great. All right. So our Patreon executive producer tonight, the person that helps make sure that this show is running every single week, is Ryan Blank. Thank you, Ryan, for being a longtime supporter of the Unused Substitutes and being a longtime Patreon supporter, because obviously that does help us afford the subscriptions and stuff that we need to run this little pod. We appreciate you very much. If you want to tweet us, as Matt is getting ready to put a tweet out with a poll on the Twitter, on the tweets, at Unused Subs Pod is the mothership. Go ahead and head there now, because that's going to be going up in a couple seconds, in all likelihood. A little game of Would You Rather. Dan. So, I mean, look, as much as we want to avoid the elephant in the room, and the elephant in the room is a 0-0 draw at Laney Football Stadium in Oakland, I don't think we can. Only because, like, that was a really, really kind of bad game for the Tampa Bay Rowdies. Like, that was bad.
It was pretty bad. It was like twice as bad for whoever installed the lights around that stadium. literally, if we hadn't worn the Volt kits, you would not have been able to see anything happening in that second half.
And, you know, whoever installed the pitch, because, you know, it's the famous... Well, no, I don't... Actually, it's not the OKC pitch anymore, right? Like, they only played that for, like, one game, and then they tore it out or something like that.
Yeah. It's the pitch that originally, like, in regular daylight, that pitch looks like the pitch from a new stadium rendering.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, it's, like, very dark green, very bright green, and there's no subtle changes. You don't even really see blades of grass. I will say, it didn't appear to be as bad as last year, but I think that's because we were seeing it in near total darkness. Sabotaged by darkness.
Sabotaged by darkness. It still... That pitch. I mean, I'm not witty enough for this job. I'm saying, like, this... Besides the fact that it's still visually very weird to look at. The thing about it is both teams repeatedly looked like they were slipping on that pitch. Like they couldn't get their... They couldn't judge bounces on a ball. They could not dribble the ball very efficiently. They weren't able to pass it quickly on one touches and stuff. It was like all of these symptoms that like the surface you're playing on is just not normal. It's not good.
And, no, I mean, and we saw multiple instances of players from both teams slipping and falling. I mean, Oakland had that one kind of, you know, guy in space with the ball, no one really near him, and just collapsed. Like I thought either he had just transferred from Hartford and that's what he was used to doing, or he had been shot by somebody outside the stadium. I was legitimately glad to see that he was okay when he got back up, and it was just a slip on the turf.
Yeah, I look, both teams finished the game with less than an 80% passing accuracy, which isn't like crazy unheard of, but I mean it was not a very good game for either team, really. And I will say this. Most everybody that watched that game was happy in the end to get out of there with a point by the end of that match.
Especially the goalkeepers. Those were the happiest two guys on the pitch that night. Because number one, they both looked great. And number two, they somehow did not allow a ball to go in.
Both keepers and defenses did a great job. And very much so the goalkeepers in particular. I mean, that was heroic from CJ Cochran on more than one occasion. Like that was absolutely an unbelievable performance. I have one criticism in particular I want to make about this game. Towards the end of the match and the Oakland breakaway, where it was basically like the 2-on-1 and somehow their forward completely botched it, dribbled like right into CJ because Cochran came out. He dribbled right into him. They didn't get anything out of it, obviously. Why is Jordan Scarlett not grabbing the jersey and committing the foul before that player gets even to the midfield circle? Why are you not just... they were literally in body contact with each other before he did. And it was like a 3-on-1 at that point because there's only one other defender behind Jordan. Why? I did not, like, that was the only, like, weird judgment call that I didn't get. Because as soon as that play started, I'm screaming at Corrigan's. I'm like, drag him down. Like, you had the opportunity to do it. And you could have just avoided the entire breakaway right there. Take the yellow card. Have a nice day. That was a weird call. That was a weird decision.
Do you think there was a chance? Cause honestly, my brain is now full of last night's game. I'm vaguely remembering this spot, and all I can really think of as a possibility is, was he like it wasn't the dog so situation?
No,
but that doesn't mean the ref's going to get the call right. Is he concerned about even creating the possibility of receiving a red? in that situation and just decided to err on the side of caution.
You can't get a dog so if you're on your own half of the field. It's not a definitive goal scoring opportunity. The definition for that rule, or should I say more or less the application of that rule, has changed over the years. Like, it's different. It's ruled differently today than it was 10 years ago. That definition.
We had Open Cup games being replayed under protest because referees were deciding to apply college substitution laws to the Open Cup. I'm just kind of let's not even give the slightest whiff of a chance, because a game between two amateur or semi-pro sides, okay, let's replay that. A red card in a league game in USL, yeah, maybe you do or don't get that, you know, overturned. I don't know. I'm reaching for it here. I know. I fully understand, but
yeah,
that's what I'm sticking to.
Like I said, so Dogso at one point, and that may even still be the current interpretation, is that you actually have to be like committing a shot, an actual shot, or like you're basically in the process of getting ready for that. Like, essentially, like the definition of a goal scoring opportunity has been, like, at one point was really heavily restricted down to just that. Like, just getting a breakaway from midfield, if you were past the last defender, isn't like a red card anymore. Like, if you're halfway down the field, that's not an obvious goal scoring opportunity. You're just dribbling in the middle of nowhere. So that definition got really, really tightened in the last 10 years. So yeah, in this case with the Scarlet play, yeah, you would never, ever, 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 ever in the modern game get a red card for pulling a shirt or committing like a small foul or whatever. You would never do that. Even if like you're the last defender, if you're on your own half, if you're on the other half of the field, you won't get a red card for that. It's just not how the modern game is called. So
I'm never saying never with referees, but you know what? You know why it doesn't get called? Because those two keepers played on Saturday night. You could not say any situation is an obvious goal scoring situation.
Exactly. So it was funny because like we're watching that game and it's just like how we almost got a 3 points out of that. We almost scored a goal there at the very end. Like all of a sudden we got a couple of those set pieces late and we got that would have been the most unworthy 3 points in like the history of the Rowdies organization if we had managed to actually pull that off.
Put it this way, that would have been a Cosmos Rowdies result from NASL days. Yes. Only the Rowdies benefiting this time around.
Right.
Oh. And I was just, it just felt like, I was like, we're going to get just a piece of crap, garbage kind of goal that you're gonna want to like take a shower after celebrating because you kind of feel dirty about it. But I was like, I'm totally here for it. Let's do it.
I mean, yeah, we didn't even have a shot in the first half. I mean, let's be real here. We didn't get a shot in that game at all until the 70th minute of the game.
Yeah.
Like that is every definition of oh dear lord, and we almost did it. We almost got the three. That would have just been like the most trolling moment. There was very little about that match that went well. I mean, obviously the goalkeepers played just absolutely out of their minds. I'm willing to just like let it go. It's still early in the season. You know, it's a road game cross country. I'm kind of willing to just say whatever. We got a point on the road. Have a nice day. Goodbye.
And I think we'll see something different. I forget, there was a game either last season or season before. I forget when it was. Where they were heading out to the West Coast, and they actually left like on Wednesday or Thursday to go out to the coast to try and acclimate to, you know, time zone changes and everything else. I forget what game it was, but I have that like in my head. I'm pretty sure from looking at the schedule that we got last week, I don't think they left till Friday.
Yeah, but I believe so.
Which is more commonplace. And it's like you don't normally have that many East Coast to West Coast games. You're crossing multiple time zones to do that. So I don't know if that's a factor. I'm assuming it probably is. You know, I'm not going to drag up the old Rowdies are terrible on pitch because the last few years we've been great on every surface. But that surface wasn't great for either side, as we saw. It obviously didn't have a huge impact on how they played last night, what with the rotation and the difference in quality of opponent. But a little bit of a long stretch, and, you know, we didn't really have anybody out injured for this. If anything, I'm going to chalk this up to it's the first West Coast trip of the year.
Yeah. And let's be fair a bit to Oakland a little bit here, right? They don't have any wins on the year. So most people look at that and go, oh, that's terrible. Look, they've got 3 1-goal losses and then 2 back-to-back draws to start the season for their first 5 games. You know, you've got a new coach that's in there trying to kind of organize things. Juan Guerra is obviously trying to implement new systems, new thoughts. You know, he's still in the process of kind of building his roster and seeing what positions and what players on that work. You know, it's not going to look pretty, but obviously there's a lot of unknowns about that team right now. I guarantee you that during the season, Oakland is going to surprise some teams. They may not make the playoffs, but that's going to be a team that's going to surprise even the best in the league before the end of the year.
They're going to look like Oakland of last year, where they started out really rough and they had, you know, stadium problems and pitch problems and they couldn't score, they couldn't win, and then they went on a little tear near the end of the season. It would not surprise me to see that again, partly because of the man in charge. Like, I think, you know, we were saying for years that, you know, Juan's kind of worked his way around. He was in Phoenix for a while. He was in Indy for a while. Like, he's learned at the hands of some experienced coaches, some successful coaches, and he's had a time to kind of develop his philosophy. And I think he's going to be a successful head coach in this league, and I hope he is. I'm just glad he wasn't the other night.
So, yeah, let's put this game to bed and let's move on, because it's fine. We're 5 games into the year. I'm okay with it. You know, think about this. Okay, let's look at the standings real quick here, because most of tonight's probably going to be Open Cup because Dan's not here, so we get to talk about it. You know, we look at the standings. Obviously, Louisville's in first place. Shocking nobody, of course. 11 points, 3 wins and 2 draws to start the year. Pittsburgh is in second. 3 wins and 1 draw, 10 points. Tulsa's in third now with the results this past weekend. 3 wins, 2 losses, so 9 points. And then, of course, you've got the Tampa Bay Rowdies, 2 wins, 3 draws. I'm okay right now. It's fine. You want, if we can get, you know, we've been talking about how crazy the schedule is for the first 2 months of the year. If we can get through April and we're in fourth place, like if you can get to May, like call it May 5th or whatever. I'm trying to think of the date on those the games. Get to like May 7th or whatever, right? Saturday, May 7th. If you're in fourth place in the East at the end of the next 4 weeks, I am like ecstatic. That's an absolutely fantastic place to be in, considering that you would have played, I think we did the... When the schedule was announced, we did the calculation on this. It's something like, I think the first third of the year is played in like the first 2 months or month and a half of the season. Like, it's like a third of the entire season for us. So you can get to May 7th in fourth place, and we're in a perfect position to go into the easier part of the entire schedule at that point.
Just going back to what you're talking about with the position in the standings, out of the 14 teams, let's see, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So roughly a third have played 5 matches. That's the most anyone's played. Of those 5, only 2 teams have not lost a game yet, Louisville and Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay might be sitting in fourth right now. It's 2 points. It's nothing at this point. That's going to be your top 2 teams in the East by the playoffs. I have no doubt about that.
Yeah. Absolutely, and I don't think Yeah. Yeah, I mean, as bad as that game was the past weekend, again, just like you pointed out, we're still undefeated. Mm-hmm. And there's only, what, five teams in the league, in the entire league, that still have that undefeated mark. Colorado's obviously won four straight to open the year. Congratulations to them, whatever. They're West Coast. They don't exist. New Mexico's undefeated. Who cares? They'll probably fall apart midseason like they always do. And then, if, you know, it's Louisville, Pittsburgh, and us. And that doesn't surprise anybody. So I'm cool. I'm cool. It's fine. Life is good. Rounding out the playoff picture in the East at the moment, Loudoun is still technically in a playoff role in fifth place with 7 points. Memphis, a couple of results more recently have kind of gone their way. They're at 7 points as well in sixth place. And then Atlanta United, too. Yes, right now there are two teams in the playoffs in the East, but it's obviously too stupid early. So, yeah, two wins, three losses, and they got 6 points. That's good enough for seventh. Lots.
Yeah. You know who's not in the playoffs right now?
Who's not in the playoffs right now?
This weekend's opponent, the Miami FC, checking in at a one win, two draws, and a loss, -1 goal differential. 4 points on the season, currently in ninth, 1 point behind Detroit City FC in eighth. And honestly, I think Detroit's going to be my sleeper dark horse, going to make the playoffs team. And they might even, and I don't even necessarily mean like squeak in one of the last two or three seeds. I think you could see them being like a fourth or fifth place team by the time this is over.
It's possible. Beginning of the season, things are always going to be pretty tight with teams because everybody's still getting their legs. Everybody's still trying to figure themselves out. You know, Detroit's got a 1-0 victory on Charleston, to start the year. Whatever. They've got draws against Pittsburgh and Memphis. It's not bad. Pittsburgh certainly is a good one. They have a 1-0 loss to San Antonio. San Antonio is going to end up being a decent team out west this year. So, like, you know, they're one win out of four doesn't look good on paper, but when you look at the results, that's not bad at all things considered for a new team like this. Miami's a bit more of a weird one. They've got the win over New York Red Bulls too to start the year, and then they got a 2-0 loss to Louisville, a 2-1 loss to Colorado Springs, and then a 0-0 draw to Loudoun. I mean, Louisville and Colorado Springs have obviously started as two of the hottest teams in the league. Okay, so you're not quite there on that level to start the year. I mean, Miami's had talent. They were a playoff team last year for a reason. They've retooled a little bit. They brought in some other faces. You know, Kyle Murphy's on that team now, scoring goals tonight in the Open Cup, in fact. You know, they've got talent on that team. You cannot take Miami lightly. So, yeah, I think there's definitely things that we have to think about, and I think that it'll be fine all in all with how the way the season has started. I don't think there's anything to really worry about. No panic buttons to press yet.
No. Definitely not. I got some more Miami takes, but let's talk about last night, cuz last night was Open Cup. The single most important and prestigious competition in U.S. club soccer, according to Stephen Cundiff.
And the absolute perfect palate cleanser after the Oakland game. Like, if you wanted a bounce back and a way to forget all the nightmares on the road, that game last night against the Villages was exactly what you needed.
Yeah. Mostly because, and look, Villages were on the other side of a 6-0 result in the round before, knocking out Orlando FC Wolves. I never have heard of them. So, their League Two, they haven't even really started their season yet. That Orlando FC game was their first game of this year. Coming into this, you know, we talked about in the pregame show, they had absolutely nothing to lose, everything to play for. They were just there to have fun. If they lose six, you know, if they lose 6-0, pretty much everyone expects that. If they can get, you know, one or two goals, if they can, you know, have a good showing, even better. But last night, I think, probably went the way that everyone expected to. I know even, you know, we were a little little conservative on the pregame show with our predictions. I think you said 3-0. I think I said 4-1. I did not actually think they were going to score a goal. I just wanted to do that for Mitch. It was good to see, not that it was like, oh, that's great, like we're suddenly everything's fixed because we beat this, you know, semi-pro team 6-0, but it was no one got hurt. We advanced. We got some guys some minutes that hadn't played yet or played much. Some guys who didn't play the weekend before in Oakland. We were kind of laughing. I was sitting up in the press area. We were kind of laughing about, you know, here we are up like 4-0, 5-0, and we're going to bring on Seba Guinzotti. I forget who else came on with him at the same time. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and Jake scores like, you know, like 37 seconds later or something like that, wild like that. And it's like, well, why are we doing this? And it's like, honestly, at that point, we're getting those guys some cardio and getting their legs loosened up for the weekend. Those two guys coming to that game literally had nothing to do with them having an impact on that game itself. They just happened to. Seba almost gets a bicycle. He's been trying for that one. He's looking to get on that scoreboard. He wants to break that record. Jake LaCava just does what Jake LaCava does. We even put Connor Antley in because we hadn't been mean enough to kids in a while.
that was exactly my thought when I saw him come in. I was like, wow, he really wants some banter in this game on top of everything else, doesn't he?
Yeah. But you know, and then the part we had all been waiting for since the midweek announcement, the Rowdies had signed two players, two academy contracts, Tate Johnson, Santi Castaneda, both started the game on the bench, both got in the game to make their professional debuts. I got a chance to talk to both of them after the game, and there's the audios out there, but what you don't see is just like the giant grin that both these kids had on their faces getting to play that. And especially like Lucky's been one of their coaches. So not only to like make their pro debut, but to be playing on the same field alongside one of the guys they've been working with for a while, like that, it was huge for them. They were excited. And we both were kind of like, all right, what's next? And they're like, well, we have school tomorrow. We have to go home and get up. But that was cool. I think one of my favorite bits from the post game press conference, I said to Neil, I was like, you know, you had beautiful weather. We had a great crowd, nearly 2,600 for Open Cup.
Yep.
In a game where not all of the tickets were free. They were free for season ticket holders, but everybody else, they were $15 general public. But beautiful game, beautiful weather, beautiful results. I said, could things have gone any better? And Neil said, well, we could have scored 7. And I had to laugh at that one, and then did as well.
He ain't wrong. We could have.
No, I mean, honestly, we could have scored 10 in that game. We started having fun in the second half. Near the end of the first half, we started having fun.
I was about to say that. Like, there were a lot of moments in that game where, like, if something didn't work out offensively, like, especially, like, I saw it. What was it? Was it Lucky? At one point, it was on attacking our end in the second half. And, you know, he had, like, made a run in. He made a pass. And, like, it didn't really, like, the ball was still in his vicinity. But he's literally just kind of, like, walking around, lackadaisical. Like, in the box, game's going on. It's not like there's a set piece or something that there's nothing going on. Like, he's literally just kind of, like, strolling around, like, you know, yeah, if you want to pass it here, it's cool. Or you want to go this direction, that's fine, too. Just kind of, like, whatever, we're just here at this point. You could just, like, it was funny because I had noticed that with, like, him, I think I saw it with, like, Lawrence Weick at one point where, yeah, it became mostly just, like, a training session at one point. Like, it was really just, like, this is getting dumb. I think once it hit 4-0, you just knew it was just dumb at that point. Like, that this game was...
And It took a little while for the goals to get going. We've scored much earlier goals this year against higher level competition. But you could tell watching that game, the amount of space that they had to work and to move in that Villages. And you know, I don't want to say that the result, the score line, you know, isn't doesn't tell the whole story. The Villages created some chances. They had some opportunities, a little more, you know, seasoning, a little more professionalism, a little more experience. And they may have put a couple of those away. There were one or two times where you had to have another player clear the ball off the line that wasn't Ryko or Rosarena, who, though, I want to say, like, I thought Ryko looked really good last night. Him laying out for some saves, but also his passing has gotten a lot better from, you know, what we saw. Again, limited sample size, but looked very much improved. And that's stuff that doesn't matter who the competition is. Like, it did help that these guys had a ton of space to move around in, but I thought he looked good. I love my, and honestly, my favorite part of this happens after the match, because we all thought watching it, it was tweeted by Game Day. I had sent the updates to the independent cup.us channel. We all thought that Lucky got a hat trick in that game. And when we came off for the post game press conference, yeah, I know you're going to say you knew it all along, whatever. We came off the field for the press conference, and the first thing, because we had Neil and then Lucky came in, and Lucky told us Kyle had the third. That was his goal. And, you know, I've tried to watch the replay a couple times. I can't be 100% sure, but I also know that Kyle could have gotten on the a toe on the end of that ball that got credited to Wyke. So either Lucky knows, you know, Lucky knows for sure, or Lucky was like, here. You take one.
So
I love.
So here's the funny part about that goal. Okay, so that happens in front of the mob, and that ball comes in. They both slide in together, and the ball and one of them hits it in the net. Obviously, like the mob group, they're you know, cheering, they're happy or whatever. I'm watching Lucky, and I'm watching Kyle discuss it. As soon as the ball goes in, they both kind of help each other up, and then they're literally like pointing at each other. Do you got it? I don't think I touched it. Did you think you touched it? Well, I give it to you. I don't know. Like, they're literally actively discussing it. And as the Rowdies players were kind of congregating towards them, at one point, Lucky goes ahead and tells the guys, no, 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 don't celebrate me. Go ahead and celebrate Kyle. Go ahead and celebrate Kyle. Kyle has this one. And so everybody was giving Kyle. At one point, it looked like the camera team had identified that, because at like the feed that I was watching on inside the stadium focused on Kyle Gregg to start that like goal celebration as they were tracking the players. And the mob was trying to get Lucky involved, because obviously everybody loves Lucky. We want him to get a hat trick. It'd be a cool moment type of deal. But I'm like looking at like Mike Maroney, and I'm like, guys, hold on. I don't think Lucky's gonna get credit for that goal. I don't think that's gonna end up being it. So like, I kind of like killed some of the Lucky chanting that tried to get started, because I was like, guys, you may want to hold off on that, because I'm not sure if that's actually what's about to happen. And then of course, you know, Sudol ruining everything like always goes ahead and blares it out. Oh, it's Lucky Mkosana. I'm just like, oh, for the love of Pete.
Yeah, we're sitting up in the press area trying to figure it out, and I must have watched a different time sequence of the video, because I'm watching the video on the video board, and after a minute or two, it was like, all right, well, Lucky's dead center in the camera shot right now, so I'm assuming it's him, and then that. But yeah, like after the game, I went and talked to Neil and Lucky and the kids, and then went over to Corrigan's, had a post game beverage with some people. And then drove back home before I was like, oh yeah, I better update that on the cup that was actually Kyle Gregg, because we had the same thing happen with the white goal. At first we thought that was Gregg, and then it was like, no, Gregg didn't get to it. Keeper hesitated and the ball trickled in.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That was actually kind of a funny moment, because like I said, you're like literally watching them like discuss it. The players all agree, okay, it's Gregg. And then Ryan goes on the intercom and says it's Lucky. And so the camera then switches over to Lucky. And, of course, you know, everybody starts cheering Lucky. And I'm like, I don't think that's what happened. But, okay, we're going to go with it for now.
Yep.
Oh, man. That was fun, though. That was a fun game. Cool story that I want to share with you on air. And I don't know if you've been told the story yet or not, but Ian Lynn was introduced me to somebody.
Yes, I was introduced also at halftime.
Yeah.
And then I sent him over to make sure he got his time in.
So, yeah, so Ian Lynn, if you don't know who that is and you're listening to the show tonight, he is president of Skyway Casuals.
Yes, if you've gone to the Turn 5 tailgate, you have eaten Ian's cookie.
Yes. Ian introduced us to somebody who had, what was the timeline? It's like he basically like went to his first game, liked what he saw, listened to the podcast, loved what he was listening to, and then like immediately bought season tickets. Like just
yeah,
he just went from 0 to 60 in like a week apparently, yeah. And
he's a Shamrock regular. Got introduced to him last night, and I always joke around with people when they're like, oh yeah, listen to the podcast, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. You know, I wish you would make better choices in your life, but I genuinely appreciate it. But also, if your first episode was that last one, because introduce myself and he's like, are you Fort Lauderdale story guy? I'm like, no, I'm old guy. He's like, all right, give me a couple episodes, I'll get the routines down. I'm like, yeah, you'll be there, you'll get it. Kind of cracking up about that one.
Oh man, yeah, no, it's always fun. It's always reassuring when you hear that, like, there are people that actually listen to us on occasion, and it's just like, what is this? we love all of you guys. We appreciate you guys listening.
That kind of goes along with that story I shared with you and Dan this morning. I didn't put this out there in for public consumption, but I get into work this morning and said it a million times. I'm a school teacher and I go in there and we have deans, these people in charge of discipline. And one of the deans stops me and he's like, let me show you this picture and tell me if you can identify this person. And I'm like, you know, not really a weird request this year. Have gotten lots of like, hey, who's this kid doing this stupid thing? But I'm like, you're the dean. Like, you probably know these kids' faces better than I do. I'm thinking, okay. And pulls out a picture that had been taken from the midfield stand of me and Dan talking to Lewis Hilton at the beginning of the pregame show, and shows me, like, it's from his friend's Facebook page. And she just had posted the picture there. No comment, no caption, no anything, just like picture of the two of us talking to Lewis Hilton. And he immediately recognizes me and was like, wait, I work with that guy. So he goes to double check and he's like, do you know the guy on the end? And she's like, no, but everybody around me is saying he's a teacher. And like, literally, like, my takeaway isn't just that someone's posting pictures of us, and this person who I don't know is posting pictures of like the pregame show and is like, you know, paying attention to it. But the fact that apparently my day job is like a common topic of conversation in the stands. I just kind of love that. And he's like, so I tell him the whole story. And he's like, yeah, he's like, I was supposed to go last night, but my daughter had a soccer game, whatever. And I was I told him, cause he used to work in Brazil as a teacher and is big into soccer. So I told him, anytime you want to come, I've got a ticket that I don't ever really have to use because we're already in the stadium when the game starts. So we'll see.
It's fun.
It's fun. It's weird. It's fun. I appreciate it. I'm like eternally grateful for it. I'm terribly bad at accepting compliments and you know, praise and stuff. So I always come off weird. Like I feel like I always come off sounding like standoffish or arrogant, but I'm not. I just don't know how to say thank you. I appreciate it without sounding stupid, but I genuinely do. I promise.
You can just say thank you and I appreciate it. And that's pretty much all you.
Yeah, but I'm kind of stupid looking, so it just comes off weird, I think. And I can't help that. I was born this way.
Oh, man. A couple of amateurs with a microphone, and this is what you get. Way to go, everybody. Thanks for making us who we are.
Faces for internet radio. I've always said it.
Man, ain't that the truth. So let's talk about everybody's favorite subject, though, which is all the other Open Cup games that are going on and all the other fun that's going on.
Every single Open Cup game Actually, the only two that I really even still have stuck in my head was Indy 11 losing to St. Louis City 2, their MLS Next Pro team. Even though Indy has not been great this year, I'm still going to call this a cup set because that's a D3 team that's literally just got started taking out a D2 team. But El Paso getting worked over last night by I don't even remember the team's name, but it was like 4-1. And like El Paso's Twitter account, when they scored the one, they're like, we'll take it. We're not getting shut out. I'm like, guys, bad luck.
Central Valley's Fuego FC. Fuego's
better. I knew it started out sounding like the karate tournament from Karate Kid, Central Valley.
Fuego's been around a while. Like, that's not. Well, no, sir. They kicked off in 20. No, they're a brand new club.
But this is like the rebirth of like Fresno Fuego went out and then became Fresno FC and then they disappeared, but now it's coming back as like Fuego.
Correct. Yeah. Fresno Fuego, they were around from 2003 to 2019. So obviously they folded with the pandemic. And so this team essentially is a historic, like has the Fuego name as like a historical nod. So that's basically what this is. Yeah, but okay. So those two matches though, here's the issue. That's literally two of the worst teams in USL right now. Like they're two terrible USL teams. This really doesn't surprise me. In fact, like I picked both of those as upsets. Like I don't think the St. Louis Indy game is an upset at all. I'll give Fuego being an upset because 4-1 that's insane. Like that's legitimately crazy.
Especially when you saw the second one, right?
Yes. Oh, dude.
The second that Jake LaCava almost pulled off an identical one last night, but it went about 35 rows up into the stands. That's one, like if that had found the back of the net, there would have been a larger hole in one area of the net.
Yeah.
Like a Marcel Schaefer style Thunder Bastard.
All right. So let's run through some of the scores here that came through from this so far from last night. So North Carolina Fusion's U23 team, which is a USL2 organization, defeated USL1 organization Charlotte Independence. couldn't have happened to a better team. That score was 4-2. And those U23 boys, they were having the time of their lives in that match. Those guys were celebrating. It was like the happiest thing you're ever going to see.
Right.
That was great. San Antonio FC defeated Kicks Soccer Club. In fact, technically it's Defeaters Kicks Soccer Club. 3-1.
Might be my favorite name of the round right there.
Yeah, right. Detroit City, of course, sabotaging their opponents with smoke, darkness, and scent, smell. 3-0, they defeated the miserable Michigan Stars. Let's talk about this for a minute.
I'm still waiting for an answer on this. When they the complaint about smell, is it the smell of the smoke? Is he calling Northern Guard stinky? Like what's the deal here?
Is he calling Hamtrak stinky? I mean,
we having some Michigan on Michigan crime here?
Oh, it's definitely a crime. I will say, I don't think I have seen a bigger Twitter ratio than the tweet that Michigan Stars put out complaining about the use of smoke.
And darkness.
And scent. And I'm sorry, but I'm not giving that to you. I'm not giving it to you. Like, no. Absolutely not. It affects both teams equally. Go away. Go away. This is their culture. This is what they've built. Go complain somewhere else. I happened to get screenshots of it, like, as it was happening. People were like, oh, my gosh, you should see this. Yeah, could you see anything on the TV? No, not particularly. It wasn't the greatest, like, you know, if you're there to watch the soccer game, you're probably not going to like that part of the broadcast. Okay, I'll say that. I'm willing to say that. As a supporter, that was the favorite moment of the match. was
When we talk about the magic of the cup, this is the kind of stuff we're talking about. That the smoke delay, the tweet that was put out today, which, by the way, I just retweeted my favorite one. Have you ever read Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas?
No.
So someone, I believe it's a Detroit City fan, took the image, erased all the text except for, thanks again, George, however you say his last name, Junkass, I don't know, and replaced it with like the opening line of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, where it just says, "We were somewhere around Barstow on the edge of the desert when the drugs began to take hold. Thanks, George Junkass." I love it.
It does.
Go play pickleball.
It does make me want to play Detroit City a bit more, though, this year. Like, the game in Detroit.
Yeah. It makes me want to go to that game.
Yeah.
I want to go. I don't think it's going to work with my schedule, but I want to go at some point.
Yeah, that kind of makes me want to do it now. Like, that was just so good. I love the fact that now you can buy a T-shirt for this. You retweeted it earlier. I kind of want to buy a T-shirt for that, because that's just it's
pointed out by one of the Detroit fans that I follow. That Michigan Stars team was almost in the USL Championship.
It's crazy, isn't it? Like, that's insane.
I don't want to hear anyone like griping about our mixtape ever again, because that tops it. That tops it.
I just like the fact that the son of the owner or whatever is on the team. So it just makes that whole thing like even better like that's going on.
Reminds me of like some of these F1 teams where a like billionaire businessman invests in the team just so that like his son can be one of the drivers.
Imagine not liking the Open Cup. Goodness gracious. All right.
Hold on, I do have one last more? I will admit to a personal bias here, but I have my favorite Magic of the Cup moment this round, which I learned about this afternoon. Actually, this evening on the drive home from the volleyball game I was attending. Today I learned that my daughter's best friend's half-sister's boyfriend played for the Villages last night. The Magic of the Cup.
It's so good.
It's the best.
All right. Orange County took care of business against their NISA opponent, Los Angeles Force. That game was 5-2 in favor of the defending USL Championship champions.
And NISA's where Michigan plays, right?
Michigan Stars?
Yeah.
I believe so. I'm pretty sure.
I think.
That was the... Yes. Yes.
So then NISA stands for Not Into Smell, apparently?
Yes, I'm proud of you for that.
Look, I'm just doing my best to try and brighten up your evening. You've had a rough day.
That's good. I appreciate that. All right. Union Omaha, USL Pro League One, defeated Des Moines Menace. A game that was actually, like, super close. It was 1-1. And I believe the deciding goal in that match was actually an own goal. To send Union Omaha through. It's their first victory in an Open Cup. Obviously, they haven't been around super long, so that's not terribly surprising. But, yeah, congrats to Union Omaha for that. FC Tulsa defeated Tulsa Athletic 2-1. That was a big question mark for a result, because Tulsa Athletic over the years has put some decent teams together and has had some upsets in the lower divisions. So, you know, that was definitely a match that could have gone either way. Pittsburgh Riverhounds took care of their NISA opponent, the Maryland Bobcats. I'm going to be honest, I hadn't even heard of the Maryland Bobcats until this year's tournament, like, drawing took place.
I've heard of them. They have some decent jerseys and a nice crest. I kind of always like things with the Maryland flag. It's one of the more fun flags out there, so I'm into them. I've heard of them, yeah.
So Pittsburgh takes care of them 2-0. Obviously, we already mentioned St. Louis defeated Indy 2-0 as well. That's not terribly surprising because Indy's trash. And then New Mexico United was almost as good as the Tampa Bay Rowdies, but not quite. They defeated Las Vegas Legends 5-0. So, what a shame. Tampa Bay has, so far, the best score for round two. And imagine being a Villages fan right now. Imagine being a part of the Stampeding Herd, or whatever it is they call themselves. And you watch that game against Orlando FC Wolves, and you're going, we have a +6 goal differential. You know, even if we get knocked out of the tournament, we're probably going to have a positive goal differential for this. And then you had to sit and watch that game.
Stampeding Herd, huh?
And then you have to go drive home in your golf cart.
That's a long drive, too.
It's a very
long drive. I was just thinking, it's kind of maybe a little bit ironic that Stampeding Herd, Villages. You can't spell Stampeding Herd without STD. My whole goal tonight is just to render Steven speechless as many times as possible. Like, this doesn't work for anyone who's not watching, and literally no one's watching, but like, face in his hands, what I can see of his head is like bright red at this point. It's great. I was now it's fun to make some jokes at their expense. We were kind of joking last night that we were kind of surprised that people coming from the Villages, like, they appeared pretty young. Our guess was this, they were all like employees of the community, and this was a mandatory workouting.
It was a ticket deal they got through AARP. Let's be real.
I mean, technically, we used $15 tickets. I just told them it was that price and called it the early bird special.
Oh, it's the Villages. So they probably spiked the punch in the community center and then, like, you know, herded them like cats into a van and said, hey, come, you're coming with us.
I'm surprised they didn't say, I'll say that the final result was rigged at the end. Had to throw that one in there.
Oh,
had one in there.
Go ahead. You're fine.
I say the couple of notes I got when I got home last night. Tampa Bay now currently has a 5-game winning streak in the Open Cup at home. So we'll find out. The draw for the next round will be Friday. It'll be on, apparently it's going to be broadcast on Twitter and YouTube. There will be something like 17 MLS teams come in this round. More likely than not, like the with the number of teams that have advanced, the odds of playing an MLS team is high, but there will be some games that will pit winners from this round against other winners from this round. So you could still have a second division or some of these cup set third division teams that get through. You could possibly face one of them. It might not necessarily be an MLS team. However, I don't think we've really had any upsets in the Florida or the South region. Miami FC and Miami United went final at 3-0 for Miami FC a few moments ago. So odds are pretty high it'll be an MLS team, but the part that's not known yet is who will host, because apparently that's also being drawn at random. I think you'll still see situations. I think Cincinnati's already put their name in there as they are willing to acquire hosting rights if they are not drawn to host. And, you know, look, we always want to see it's fun to talk about having the big teams travel to the small team grounds. And I've, you know, we've gone over this a couple times. Like, some of the small teams, the fields they play on aren't available on a Tuesday night with like 3 weeks' notice once the draw is done. Or if they are, by the time they hire staff and get the required insurance policies for the game, like, they don't sell enough tickets to make money. It's a money loser proposition. I would prefer to see that the lower club has the right of first refusal. They're given the option to host, and if it's not feasible or if it's not financially viable, then they can turn it down. But to me, there's nothing wrong with the MLS side's offering to buy it. Like, that's money that's going to go to those clubs, and more money than they may have gotten out of that round in the first place.
I like right of refusal, but I also like random draw, but I hate the idea of having an option to buy it out per se, because we've been down that route before. And,
oh, yeah.
And basically all the clubs just buy it out and let, because the money is more important. Yeah. So just, it doesn't, because the financial discrepancies are so extreme that it just doesn't make sense to risk hosting when you could just get a nice check. Like, so we've been down that route. It really doesn't work.
And U.S. Soccer subsidizes all, possibly all, if not a significant chunk of the travel.
Yeah.
And I think the hotel arrangements are done by the hosting team. Like, now, when you get to, like, you know, second division versus first division, that's one thing. But, like, some of the, if you have a third or fourth division team that comes through, the money they're getting offered to give up hosting rights, that can be a significant chunk of change for them. That could actually be more important than the result of the game itself in the long run for some of these teams.
Yeah.
So I'm not totally opposed to it. I'd rather see more MLS teams going to second division stadiums, because we had a hell of a lot of fun with that with Seattle. We were all talking about yesterday.
You know, we were talking too about, like, you know, it's fun having these teams, you know, hosting, you know, the smaller teams hosting these larger organizations. But at the same time, like, you know, the Rowdies get drawn against Atlanta United, for instance. Like, if that were to happen, you know, that's still a cool trip. You know, I mean, granted, you're not going to go to, you're not playing in Mercedes-Benz in the third round. So, like, put that out of your mind. In fact, I think you wouldn't be playing in Mercedes-Benz until the final, I would bet. And so the game would probably be at Kennesaw State. But
although Cincinnati has said if they do acquire the rights, it will be at the the one thing I do love about Cincinnati is that they refer to their stadium as the Tickle, because it's TQL Stadium. They will be playing the game at the Tickle.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I mean, that's the only downfall is, like, I mean, I appreciate, like, going to some of these larger stadiums. Like, that would be a cool experience, but that's just not going to happen in the early rounds. Like, it just won't. So, I mean, it is what it is, I guess, right? Like, I mean, even if we were to play Orlando and the game is in Orlando, I'm not necessarily convinced it would be played at Exploria. Like, it's not really a guarantee. Technically speaking,
where's the place that OCB plays? It's like Montverde Academy or something. I could see it being out there.
I mean, we've played them in Open Cup back in 2014. The only official match we've ever played was a year that we sucked. It was the 2014 season, but they played the game at the Seminole Soccer Complex. Like, there was just like two little like youth stand bleacher type things, and like that was about it. Like, it was basically just a little youth side field. So, you know, like I said, Orlando could do some strange things if they wanted to. They don't have to play us in a big stadium if they're the ones hosting. So, you know, we'll have to just wait and see what happens. The draw for the next round is Friday at noon. And it's
noon.
And you'd be able to see it. Like, it's on, like, YouTube and stuff like that. Like, it's going to be – it's easily accessible to watch.
After my lunch break.
So it is going to be fun. It's going to be a while probably to watch the whole thing, because I doubt they're just going to just open envelopes and be done with it in 30 minutes. Like, it'll probably be – they'll probably stretch it out a little bit. But
wait, I have learned, at least I have a place I think is the safe bet on where Orlando would host the game based on prior experience. It's a place called Big Oak Park, and I'm willing to bet that Big Oak is right in the middle of the field where the game would be played, because I think that's happened before.
Oh, man. So, yeah, we'll find out on Friday. A lot of people were asking after the game, like, what are we going to – are we going to play Orlando? Are we going to get Miami? Like, what's the chances? It's all random, guys. It's all random. Like, the groups are going to – they're dividing groups by region. And as I was saying last night, the only problem is inevitably you always have an odd team out of its, like, region, because there's just not an equal number of teams in a close enough region to make it work logically. So, like, even though we've got, like, say, four teams in Florida that all make sense, Miami versus Inter and, you know, the Rowdies versus Orlando, there's no guarantee that it's not going to be a six-team group, and you might throw in North Carolina Fusion and like Charleston Battery into the mix. There's no guarantees as to what that may look like. So, you know, just because there is a small chance of a really good opportunity, those groups can really, really change radically. And hypothetically, we could even be stuck like halfway across the country. That's how it usually is with the Tampa Bay Rowdies for some reason. We're always like, you know, look, Portland, you know, Pittsburgh, back when we were in the NASL. And you've got, you know, the trip that we took out to Columbus and places like this. Like, you get stuck in some random spots sometimes. And it's just kind of the way it is. Like, you just, it's hard to predict. But we'll find out. Just kind of everybody hold on tight. I do want to point out there was two things that I thought was kind of funny of names that I hadn't heard in a while that popped up in Open Cup games tonight, actually. Let's start with one. Akira Fitzgerald was the starting goalkeeper for Richmond Kickers tonight.
Yeah, when he left Tampa Bay, he's been in, as far as I remember, he's been in Richmond ever since. And that's been, what, 3 or 4 years
yeah,
now?
Yeah, yeah. I had forgotten, you know, if you don't go back and, you know, look through them every day, you know, sometimes you forget like where those guys are. And yeah, I had forgotten that he was still there. So it was kind of funny to see him still in a starting lineup. The other player notable is another goalkeeper, Macklin Robinson.
Oh, wow.
Macklin Robinson. So he's. I don't know which team he's playing for, but he's in the FC Motown Cleveland game, if I'm not mistaken.
Madison's playing Cleveland. Motown's playing Syracuse AC.
There you go. Syracuse. Yeah, there it is.
Oh, he just got scored on then.
Yeah, lol. But yeah, it was kind of funny. Like, I was like, man, you know, magic of the cup, right? Like, you get some of these names, some of these players that have kind of moved on and are playing second division type stuff. Gotta love it.
Oh, he's with AC Syracuse Pulse right now. Yep. And they are down 1-0 to Motown.
Nice. Nice.
The names I saw pop up, someone pointed this out to me, and I had no clue either these guys were with this team, but Corey Herzog and Lance Roseboom are currently plying their trade for Des Moines Menace.
Yes, I did see that. I saw the Des Moines Menace Lance Roseboom link, I think about a month ago. Yeah, because when they announced like the first round matchups, I think I saw his name drop there.
Interesting.
It's notable because he was a captain with Miami. And yeah. Then, like, that's kind of unfortunate. It kind of stinks. But also, you know, I mean, at least he's still playing, you know. But that's a crappy move. Imagine going from Miami to Des Moines, Iowa. Like, that's a heck of a quality of life change right there.
Yeah, that's wild. I want to talk about one game in particular that went on tonight because it's going to lead into some talk about this weekend, and then we can wrap up and get out of here. Miami FC played Miami United, which no surprise there. Miami FC won that game 3-0. Miami FC played probably not far off of a lineup they would bring here to Al Lang on this weekend. And a lot of these guys went the full 90 minutes. Kyle Murphy with a goal on a penalty, full 90 minutes. Lamar Walker, full 90 minutes. Speedy Williams came on late. Speedy Williams played. And he started, came off. Paco Craig, his captain, went the full 90 minutes. Romeo Parks came in the 75th as a injury sub for a player who had subbed on in the 40, like in the beginning of the second half. Like they did some changes at the beginning of the second half, but I'm kind of interested in the amount of guys you would expect to be like starting lineup guys in a USL championship game that started and went the full 90 for them 2 days before they head over to Tampa Bay for this weekend's match.
Well, we talked about that because the Rowdies had done something similar to that you know, at the beginning of the year where we had like the Wednesday night match and turned around and basically played the same lineup the very next day.
Right.
Early in the season, you can get away with it. Late in the season, you're asking for trouble. But early in a season, you can definitely accomplish that. And one thing to keep in mind, too, is that, it's Steven, it's going to be a weather comment. It's the weather this weekend is going to be beautiful. Like, it's not going to be like this, like, almost 90 degree, you know, record breaking heat like we've been seeing, you know, last couple of days. Like, it's going to be like super nice. You know, lows are dropping into like the 50s, like every night. Like, it's going to be like 70 degree for a high, like, because a cold front comes through tomorrow. So, like, it's going to dry everything out. Like, if you're going to do a full lineup twice in 1 week, knowing that the second game is going to be in like very comfortable conditions actually kind of helps make that decision okay. You know, if you're going to go in from like record breaking heat to record breaking heat, that sucks. But if you're doing it,
right.
You know, but if you're taking that factor into consideration, like, it, hey, you know, you've got some money to gamble in that sense. So, you know, they've only played 4 games compared to us. So they've got 1 fewer game played as a result. It's not something unheard of early in a year. And like I said, Neil's done it before. Neil doesn't necessarily care. He's like, hey, you guys are pros. Let's go.
I know. I look at the weather. I look at the fact that it's, you know, a Miami-Tampa Bay game, a bit of a rivalry that has started to grow a little bit more. We got our appetites whetted a little bit last night by actually having some away fans. And I thought it was kind of fun to have them over in that midfield section, not too far from the mob. There was some fun back and forth. I did think it was hilarious that they were kept chanting. I assume this is what it was. They were chanting FCTB at the mob, like FC Tampa Bay or something. It sounded like they just kept chanting FCTB over and over.
Which is funny because, like, nobody's ashamed of that, so I don't understand what the point is.
And it's like, you're the same team that rebranded from Ocala Stampede, and you're making fun of, like, okay. Cool.
It's like, this is our history? Yes, you're correct. Next question, please.
But no, it was good. I can't, you know, I don't want to stick the away fans in the very nice seats all the time. But that was kind of an interesting setup. I think, well, you know, we might have some traveling fans coming up from Miami this weekend. All the more reason why I'm extremely upset with one of my closest friends who has chosen this Saturday to get married. Which means I will not be on hand for the pregame show and most likely kickoff. But I am going to do my level best to put in a good appearance at the wedding, which is just at a brewery in Ybor, and then head back and hopefully catch maybe second half, last bit of the game, and do a little hangout at Corrigan's after, because it's going to be freaking gorgeous.
This weekend's going to be great.
I know. Yeah.
All right. So this weekend, Tampa Bay Rowdies hosting Miami. I'm sure we're not going to see many Miami fans because I think the Villages have a larger fan base.
Oh, yeah. Like we said, Miami's interesting. One win, what, 2 losses and a draw. And you look at a win, it's over New York Red Bulls, their first game of the season. That's a game they should win. The 2 games they've lost, 2-0 to Louisville. Well, a lot of teams are going to lose to Louisville this year. They also lost 2-1, and that was in Louisville. They also lost 2-1 at home to Colorado Springs. Colorado Springs, top team in the West, have won every single one of their matches. Only played 4, but they've won every single one. Have the most points in the league right now, along with San Diego Loyal. And then they drew a 0-0 draw with Loudoun, which Loudoun is, I don't know how good they are, but I know they're better than they have been. So there's not really a ton you can take from the results. The roster, they still have it. It's going to sound like a weird thing, and but it looks like they've actually done some diversifying. Miami's thing was that they had a ton of Jamaican national team players, and they still do. You've got Romeo Parks, you've got Speedy Williams, you've got Lamar Walker, Sean McFarland's out there. And you run into those periods of time where these guys are getting called up for Nations League, for friendlies, for qualifiers. And then all of a sudden they're getting hit by missing some other key players. They've got a lot more names in some of these spots now. They've got the ability to maybe cover, you know, bring in Kyle Murphy. You've got Pierre Da Silva in the midfield. Like, they've got some, it's a pretty talented team. Still a little bit of getting their legs underneath them, just like Tampa Bay is, to be fair. So it could be an interesting matchup, and I definitely want to try and be there at least for the very end of this to see how it turns out.
It's going to be fun. Let's do predictions real quick. I'm going to say, actually, I'm going to be conservative on this, and I'm going to say 1-1.
Let's see. Peeking through the stats right here, they've scored 3 goals total this season. Let's see. They've got 2 keepers, each with 1 clean sheet out of 4 games, so half of their games are 4. They've given up 4 goals total. Two, 1 to Tampa Bay.
Nice. All right. Well, sir, any last thoughts before we go ahead and close it out for the evening?
We got to go back and see if there's finally some predictions in the Twitch for last night so we can pick a winner for the button. That's the other reason I want to try and get there, because hopefully we'll pick a winner and I can meet up with them after the game and give them the button that's sitting on one of my bags right now. And I think we have another giveaway that we need to figure out the winner for or do something with.
Yep.
Yeah. We'll figure those out. We'll get that out there. Let's go have some fun. That was nice. Like, that was the perfect Open Cup game, a game we won the way we should have won. No one got hurt. Everybody who deserved to have fun. The kids got to play. It was fantastic. Let's just have more of that. Let's just have a bunch of 6-0s every round, no matter who we're playing. And they're all at Al Lang.
I like that. Go like just nice undefeated with solid victories all the way around. Just like every time you go to Taco Bus. Who proudly delivers a healthy, fresh, authentic Mexican taste experience to our Florida fans. Just one bite of a burrito, tostado, or quesadilla, and your taste buds will be singing traditional Mexican folk songs. Visit us today at one of our 11 locations and keep it Chido.
Probably delivering that the way that Jake Ehrman and Kyle Gregg were delivering assists on 6 different goals last night.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you to Wolfface, to Radio St. Pete Online, to Shamrock and Corrigan's.
Speaking of Wolfface, Wolfface is playing a free concert Friday night at the new Daddy Cool Records location, starting at 7 p.m. Plenty of parking. There's going to be food trucks there. It's their 10th anniversary show. There's 2 other bands that I've never heard of opening for them. I am going up there for that. It sounds like it's going to be a great time and make an appearance. Finally get to see Wolf. I think Dan's had a chance to catch him once or twice. I've never had a chance to. I'm definitely wanting to go see this. So if you've got nothing else going on Friday night, come hang out with me at Daddy Cool Records. I'm going to just be coming up straight from school. It's at 828th Street South, St. Petersburg, Florida. I think I'm trying to, I'm not sure they located. I think it's over. Yeah. It's over by where Fairground St. Pete is. It's in that same like set of buildings. I don't want to call it like a, it's not a strip mall because it's just that, but it's that same place. It's called the Factory St. Pete. It's where Fairgrounds is. Fairgrounds is cool too. If you haven't checked that out, check that out. But there's tons of parking and a big open space for the concert, and it's free. Let's go have some fun.
There you go. That's a nice little Friday night out. All right. If you are listening to us, please make sure that you are sharing this with your friends, subscribing to the show so you never miss an episode, giving us a rating and a review helps us get in front of other potential Rowdies fans and USL fans that may want to listen to what we bring to the table. If you want to take your support to the next level, Patreon is the best way to do that. Starting at just $1 a month goes a long way into helping us put on this show and put on this production. You could even go as high as $10 a month and go and become an executive producer level Patreon. And we get a nice shout out on a rotational basis for everything you do. Thank you to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier to MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get your custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. And if you are tired of the same old uniforms and cookie-cutter templates from Nike and Adidas, and you're looking for a unique, completely custom kit for your youth club, Sunday league squad, adult, or even pro team, Icarus FC can help you create the kit of your dreams at an affordable price. Let them help you design your new custom kit today at IcarusFC.com. Matt, Open Cup season is a great season of the year. It's my favorite season of the year.
It's the only season that matters, right?
Yes. Yes, it is. All right. Well, we hope to have Dan back next week, even though he doesn't like the Open Cup. You know, we might invite him back. Maybe. Maybe. At this point, if he keeps slandering the Open Cup, I might break his other arm.
You go check on that poll, see what the votes are like. I made the mistake of not changing the default time, so that poll is open for the next 24 hours. Well, I guess 3 hours probably. Go check that out. You know how to vote. Dan likes the poutine.
Exactly. Of course Dan likes the poutine. All right. Well, everybody, we will see you this weekend. We will be on Twitch as always. And with that, you guys have a great rest of your night. And go Rowdies.